A Stony Brook University study has found the seaweed kelp may help reduce the effects of ocean acidifications on Long Island. This could help the region's shellfish industry rebound from massive die-offs in recent years. Marine biologist Christopher Gobler says the growth rate for oysters grown in kelp is 5 times faster than oysters further away.
There's almost 50 oyster farms across Long Island, and all of them are threatened by ocean acidification. So now we have the means for introducing kelp and having kelp be grown on these oyster farms to fight ocean acidification, benefit those oysters, and improve the growth rate of the oysters, and therefore ultimately have an economic benefit as well.
The kelp absorbs harmful carbon and nitrogen from seawater, which prevents acidification and the growth of harmful algal blooms. Gobler says ocean acidification is among the most serious threats to shellfish due to climate change. You are listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region. Connecticut lawmakers demand gun safety legislation. The EPA will start inspections for lead in towns across the state, and Connecticut students are getting their hands dirty in the garden. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. U.S. Senators Chris Murphy and Richard Blumenthal attended a rally outside the U.S. Capitol building today to demand gun safety legislation. The rally comes after the recent mass shootings in Buffalo, New York, and Uvalde, Texas. WSHU's Mike Lyle reports.
Murphy joined several Democratic congressional leaders, including Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, to deliver yet another powerful speech on the need for gun control laws. Murphy says the recent shootings in Texas and in Buffalo are not going to become America's new normal.
We are never going to give up until we make our schools, we make our shopping malls, we make the streets of this country a safe place to live and work. We are never giving up until we win this fight.
Blumenthal says he's pushing for the measure to be included on the midterm election ballot this fall and challenged his GOP colleagues to stand up for the cause.
We need to make it a decisive issue, and we will vote them out if they fail to vote the right way.
Both senators say they remain hopeful that Republicans and Democratic moderates can agree to get legislation on the floor for a vote in the Senate. Mike Lyle, WSHU News.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency this week announced it will start a lead inspection sweep in Hartford, Fairfield, and New Haven counties in Connecticut beginning this month. WSHU's Bill Buckner reports.
Those counties were identified as areas with a higher risk of lead paint exposure due to older housing stock, high rates of renter-occupied housing, and many households with incomes below the poverty level. Existing data show elevated blood lead levels of children living there. The federal government banned consumer uses of lead-based paint in 1978, but homes built before then are very likely to contain lead paint. Children are more vulnerable to its effects, which include damage to the brain and nervous system. Inspectors with the EPA, as well as state and local health officials, will check compliance with federal regulations at renovation job sites involving housing and child care facilities built before 1978. Field staff will also be checking that landlords are providing prospective tenants with proper federally mandated disclosure about the presence of lead-based paint. The EPA anticipates it will pursue enforcement actions if necessary. Bill Buckner, WSHU News.
What better way to learn about the environment than to spend time in it? More on school gardens popping up across Connecticut coming up after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Governor Lamont leads Republican challenger Bob Stefanowski by 8 points in a poll released by Quinnipiac University today. Lamont polled especially well with female voters. Stefanowski lost the gubernatorial race in Connecticut to Lamont by 3% in 2018. The poll also showed that 58% of respondents say they were worse off financially than they were last year. A lot of shellfish stories today. The town of Oyster Bay on Long Island has filed a lawsuit against a private shellfishing company that leases fishing areas in the town and the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, who approved the permits. The town wants a temporary restraining order to halt the transport of clams in Mill Neck Creek to parts of Oyster Bay Harbor. According to court filings, the disruption of these waters will have an irreversible impact on the clam stock. But according to the DEC, the same harvesting method has been used for decades and is sustainable. The Diocese of Bridgeport and Fairfield University have dropped plans for a commuter college for low-income students in Bridgeport's North End. Bellarmine College was to be housed in the diocese's current headquarters on Jewett Avenue. Fairfield University was to offer two-year associate degrees for no more than 200 students at the college. Residents expressed concerns about the increase of traffic in the neighborhood. Over 20 public schools in Connecticut have developed school gardens to give children a different approach to learning. WSHU's Megan Briggs visited a magnet school in New Haven, where students are learning new things about their environment and playing in the dirt is bringing them down to earth.
Stay together. This way.
Listen. At John S. Martinez Sea and Sky STEM Magnet School, a pre-kindergarten class uses trowels and buckets to transfer soil to the garden beds for the first time. They're under the guidance of Holly Brandstatter, an outdoor learning specialist from Common Ground Schoolyards program.
So make sure you have your buddy. Make sure you have a shovel. And we're all going to stay together. Ready? Let's go.
A second grade class installed the three garden beds the week before. Other classes will get the chance to cultivate the beds for planting. The students had a lot of ownership over the process.
Why don't we start by putting soil in your bucket?
It might be a little bit hard, so you can use your trowels and your hands.
Schoolyards program manager Robin Stewart says young kids develop a range of skills through this kind of outdoor learning. Even a task as simple as moving soil presents opportunities for growth.
This is kids engaging in real work that needs to be done. And I mean, there's also a lot of fine motor, gross motor, teamwork going on here.
Fourth grader Giovannalise Morales enjoys working with the soil.
So with the buckets, we're grabbing dirt and we're putting dirt inside the little thing so we could plant things like fruits, vegetables, and like plants.
Morales says garden beds are good for the rest of the community too.
They're very learnable and I think that they do a lot to the neighborhood because bees come and they give thanks to the flowers.
She's right. Green spaces do a lot to support healthy urban environments. According to a 2014 study out of Columbia University, urban agriculture, like community gardens, mitigate against the urban heat island effect. Cities like New Haven trap and absorb heat, leading to rising temperatures, increased energy costs, and heat-related illness. Community gardens help create green space for residents to enjoy, as well as manage stormwater, and they're small in scale and rarely replace food production. But Brandstatter says students are able to learn early to be conscious of their environment.
So yeah, even our preschoolers have a solid idea about, not necessarily sustainability, but just environmental stewardship. They tend to be really empathetic towards the things that we find.
Brandstatter encourages kids to count dandelions, pick weeds, and inspect the soil for squirming creatures. Excited students run back to present their findings.
Are they still moving around? Do you want to put it in the garden beds?
And sometimes tell a harrowing story of a near miss with a bee.
Ooh, well, they all don't like to sting, but sometimes they have to if they feel scared.
At John S. Martinez, social and emotional learning strategies are central to the way they teach. This means educators are trained in methods that allow all students to find different ways to succeed. Teacher Alyssa Granada Basso says foundational skills can be developed in the dirt, from identifying the alphabet with letters made of sticks to practicing math equations with rocks.
And I will tell you that kids actively seek out and ask for more time outside now because of how much they enjoy it.
Not every school has access to ample green space or the training to incorporate the outdoors into their curriculum. Common Ground seeks to bridge that gap with professional development programs. Granada Basso says she recognizes the difference made by just one school garden.
Because it levels that playing field and gives them that experiential learning that they truly deserve.
And a budding interest for urban gardening in cities across Connecticut. For kids like Morales, the school garden is just the start.
My dream garden will probably be with roses and tomatoes and probably grapes and apples.
So when you're older, you're going to plant stuff in your backyard?
I think so, yes.
Megan Briggs, WSHU News.
For the latest news from around Long Island and Connecticut, tune in to WSHU on the radio or anytime online at WSHU.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And no matter how you choose to listen, everything you hear is made possible by listeners like you. So thank you so much for your support. I'm Sabrina Garone. I'll be back tomorrow.